This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Big hour. Kelly Gramlich coming up 8:30. Fresh off the ACC, putting how many again in the Sweet 16?
That'd be four for
That'd
the ladies.
Four on the ladies, three on the guys' side. And we start this hour, ladies and gentlemen, by going to Bristol, Connecticut, and let us check in with the four most basketball analyst that the family of networks can offer you, Pack, who a week ago on this show said,
North Carolina will be in the Sweet 16. He said, write it down. That will be a headline for your Monday show. And lo and behold, he was right again.
Pump fake the world again. You know, you throw enough stuff against the wall, it sticks.
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But that one did, for sure.
Seth Greenberg, I want to know, what can you offer us on this Tuesday as you look into the future of college basketball?
That we're going to have great games this weekend because college basketball never disappoints. That the tournament has been as unpredictable as, you know, anyone could expect. Yet, in the end, it becomes pretty predictable. I mean, you know, you're going to see incredible games. But, you know, look, we got great storylines. Like St. Pete's, you know, like, we can talk all we want. St. Pete's a great storyline. You know, think about this. Shaheena Holloway probably makes about $200,000.
Right now.
Right? $200,000, all right? There are guys on Kentucky staff that make $1 million as assistant coaches. I mean, they probably have a $1 million budget total. I mean, so look, that's a great storyline. But, you know, the tournament never disappoints. You know, when you look through it and see some of the matchups we have, we've got 210. You know, we have a double-figure seed that's going to make the Elite Eight, no doubt about it, whether it's Iowa State or whether it's Miami. I mean, that's great. We've got teams that have emerged. You know, you've got number one seeds that are out. So the tournament's incredible. It's idiot proof.
Idiot proof. That's why we like it so much. That's why we kind of gravitate. It's like, you know, light moth. That's us, brother. Idiot proof. We're signing up for it. I would go as far to say, in this day and age of name, image, and likeness, there could be some Kentucky players making more than the head coach at St. Peter's. Be my guess.
No, there are. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that's not even a debate. That's a fact.
By the way, the narrative for this particular conference this year was it was down. And based on the standard of years and decades past, you can't argue that, right? Only five teams get in the dance. Sure. But Seth, how would you quantify what this conference has done during money time in the NCAA tournament to date?
Well, it's been incredible, but let's look at it. You know, you expect Duke to be alive, all right? So that's one you expect to be there, and you know, expect them to compete for national championship or Final Four. North Carolina was playing their best basketball at the end of the year. I thought Hubert's done not a good job, but an absolutely incredible job with his team, bringing them along, getting them to understand how to play to the strengths. The move to R.J. Davis to the point has been a game changer for North Carolina because that's freed up Caleb Love. It's made Brady Manick better. It's made Baycott better. Sticking with that core group has been great. So, and they've gotten tougher defensively. But they were playing their best basketball at the end of the season. That game at Duke was not a fluke. They won that game. They competed at a level where, you know, it's, you said, they can advance in the NCAA tournament. Miami's been the one that, you know, has been a surprise. But Jim's just done a great job. Their style of play. I say it all the time. When you look at the NCAA tournament, and you look especially at the second day, style of play matters. Can you impose your identity on your opponent? And that's exactly what Miami has done in this tournament, all right? Because they got five floor gamers on the court. They got five guys that can make plays. They got five guys who can make shots. And then defensively, although they're not a great defensive team in the half court, they are a disruptive team. They get you out of your rhythm. They move your people in places where they're uncomfortable. They make guys make plays. So, you know, Miami's been the one that's been the surprise, to be honest with you. I mean, but yeah, look, the tournament is a separate animal from the season. The season was dictated from the ACC and the non-conference. If you don't do your work early, it's going to impact the league in general. And that's what happened. The league didn't do its work early. So therefore, it impacted the number of teams that could get in the NCAA tournament because there just weren't enough opportunities. But once you get in the tournament, it's about how you're playing in that moment in time. It's about the matchup, and it's about whether you can impose your identity on the game. And that's exactly what's happened for the ACC.
Seth, on Sunday, I thought we saw, in the case of Duke and Miami, we saw really interesting games. Number one, I thought Duke-Michigan State was the kind of game we get in 2 weeks in New Orleans. I just thought it was a really competitive, intense, possession-to-possession, especially about the last 6.5 minutes. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought Larrañaga did a masterful coaching job on Bruce Pearl's team Sunday. I thought he won that game on the whiteboard ahead of Bruce Pearl before the ball ever went in the air, it seemed like.
Yeah, I thought that game, we've talked all season long about Auburn's backcourt and how the Auburn's backcourt could be their Achilles heel, and it was, and Jim exploited that. Jim exploited their impatience. Jim exploited, the size to pull people away from the basket. Jim just did an absolutely great job. And he's got those kids trusting and believing. They're older. They're more mature. They're only about one thing, winning. Now, the Duke game, to me, that was a moment for Duke.
Yeah.
And say, wait a second. The guy's got 5 national championships. So what do you mean a moment for Duke? It was a moment for Duke because in the last 5 minutes of that game, Duke showed their championship DNA. Duke showed what the great Duke teams do. And that is, in the last 5 minutes of the game, they got the stops they needed to get. They created the turnovers they needed to create. They got the ball where they wanted. And then Paolo Banchero absolutely took it right to the rack on 2 plays. Those are the plays that the best players at Duke make. And then Jeremy Roach has changed their team. Ball pressure and speed in the backcourt offensively. But the last 5 minutes of that game, and I spent a bunch of time on the phone with Tom Izzo yesterday, he thought that was the 5 best minutes of Duke he's seen all season in terms of offensively and defensively, not settling and then impacting the game defensively.
100% right. By the way, they scored 44 points in the paint in that game, Seth.
Yeah.
What they're going to see in San Francisco at Texas Tech is a group that says, I dare you. Please come inside because we will take
hardest,
you in the back
hardest score to paint against those dudes.
They're only giving up 18 a game in the paint. So what Duke was able to do against Michigan State may serve them well, understanding the physicality and what awaits in the next game. How do you think that thing plays out Thursday night?
You know, Texas Tech is like a boa constrictor. They suck the wind out of you. Two totally different defenses because, you know, Tom's going to play in gaps and try to keep you in front. Texas Tech keeps you on one side of the floor. So they try to get you on the outside thirds of the floor. If Duke allows him to do that, they're going to keep him out of the paint. Duke's got to play in the middle third of the floor. I mean, it sounds simple, but they've got to play in the middle third of the floor because once that thing goes in the outside third of the floor, it's going to be difficult. You bring that thing to one side of the floor, the reason they don't give up paint points is not because of anything more than they don't allow you to dribble drive the ball into the middle of the floor. So, like, if you catch it and rip it and get middle, you're not getting middle. They're going to force you almost like old school Carolina where they keep you on one side. And then if you drive the baseline, they're going to trap the baseline. So, Here's a couple things Duke's got to do. They've got to be really good defensively because Texas Tech can spin it up, and Texas Tech at times can get stuck offensively. So if you're good defensively, you can get out and play ahead of that defense. That is really, really important. Get stops, get out in front of the defense, create turnovers, get out ahead of the defense. And then the second thing they've got to do is they've got to play through that middle third. Texas Tech will switch 1 through 5, and they have the ability, especially with Santos Silva in the game. So you can create some matchups as long as you don't get stuck on the sideline. If you create the matchup you want in the middle third, then you attack, then you put them in rotation, then you can get something going. And I would suspect that they're watching a ton of film, probably more than I'm watching, and they understand that. The teams that have given Texas Tech problems have played in the middle third. If you drive it based on the outside thirds, then you better screen the weak side, backside, and skip it, and then get it to the middle and tack it straight downhill. But I mean, I'm interested to see that game. Mark Adams was a boxer growing up. And that's what Texas Tech wants to make this thing a fist fight. Yeah. I mean, it's all quite simple. That's what they want to make it. And how the game's officiated will have an impact on the game.
Let's get to that little wrinkle. We had a game that had 60-some free throws attempted. 64 free throws, 53 fouls. Carolina Baylor, Seth. We got to get our arms around. We're not watching this event to watch whistles now. We're just not.
Wait a second, but if you don't blow the whistle, people complain the game's too physical. There's an analyst I know that you guys know very well that spends games going, that's a foul.
He does.
What happened with freedom of movement? So, I mean, like, look, I actually thought Baylor got away with when Baylor made that run back, and obviously Brady Manick out of the game was huge. But when they made that run back, I thought that they were, I mean, ridiculously physical, And I never complained about the physical because I think they got a really hard job. Athletes are bigger, stronger, faster. The game scouting is so much more complex. You know what you're going to give. You know what you're going to take away. It's a hard game to officiate. But, yeah, I mean, how the game's going to be officiated is going to be a big thing. I mean, it's going to be absolutely a huge thing. Because the other thing about Texas Tech, they've got great depth. They've got great depth. So they can wear you out where, you know, Duke's going to go, especially in that game. That's not a Joey Baker game. I mean, just the way it is. That's not a Joey, kind of like with the Carolina game. That's not Joey, because you got to rip it and go in that game. So it's going to be, that game's going to be an interesting, interesting game. And the Carolina UCLA game to me is going to be, you know, two bluest of bloods. Both teams are
let's be honest.
Well, that game's going to be a high level game.
Seth, at Carolina UCLA game, let's go Tiger Campbell, RJ Davis, and go 1-4, both ends of the floor. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I tell you, RJ Davis is so, like, the move to RJ Davis to the point. He made Love better. He's made Baycott better. He's made Manick better. He's made the game easier for them. And then including defensive, by empowering R.J. Davis, what's happened is he's empowered his whole team. I mean, and you saw it at the end of that game. When everyone fouled out, that dude wasn't going to let them lose. Yeah, I think Tiger Campbell, R.J. Davis, first of all, maybe two guys with the best hair in the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's unbelievable. Totally jealous.
Takes one to know one, brother.
Yeah, I mean, totally jealous. But I just think there are a lot of great matchups. If Jaime Jaquez plays, the Manick Jaquez matchup is really interesting. Which guy can kind of get the other guy in foul trouble? Jaquez is going to drive it. Obviously, Brady's going to try to space off that ball screen, back screen stuff. That'll be an interesting matchup to watch. Jaquez doesn't play. It's a huge advantage, obviously, for North Carolina. All right. And then up front, I would suspect that UCLA is going to try to defend Baycott early and then play between him and the basket, make him score over the top. I'm interested to see Leaky Black. I would think he would guard Johnny Juzang, but you better worry about Jules Bernard, because Jules Bernard's
nice.
Might be the best two-way player in the tournament. He can really defend, and he's sneaky good offensively. That's going to be a big-time game. That's the game of all the games this weekend. That's the game I'm most looking forward to seeing.
Wow.
All right. Of the three ACC teams on the men's side, still alive and kicking. Nothing is easy. We get that. Nothing is easy. Of the three ACC teams playing Thursday and Friday, the team with the easiest path to victory is whom? Miami, North Carolina, or Duke?
Ooh.
All right, North Carolina fans, I said this on our game day show. Please understand what I'm saying. I'm saying it's North Carolina because they don't have to play against, because they beat the number one seed and the number two seed lost already. So you don't have to go through Kentucky. You don't have to go, obviously, you eliminated Baylor. So you've eliminated. Now, though, is Purdue tough to play against? Everyone's tough to play against. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but you know, Duke's got to play, you know, get through a very physical Texas Tech team and then potentially play probably Gonzaga. You know, and then North Carolina, I mean, Miami's got Iowa State, which basically plays the same defense that Texas Tech plays. And then a Kansas team that's playing its best basketball because they got Remy Martin now, and Remy Martin changes their dynamic. He gets some easy baskets, whether it's scoring or creating. So, you know, I look at it, it's North Carolina. I think it's North Carolina, especially if Jaime Jaquez is banged up.
Okay. I'm going to go with it because you've been on fire on your picks.
I don't know, but I picked the here's what I did. I was lucky with some of the, you know, some of the games that people thought were going to be upsets. Like I had Notre Dame when, I mean, those type of games, those early games, yeah. I got lucky. I mean, look, hey, if I knew what I was doing, I'd be in Vegas and then I'd go to my yacht and I'd be, you know, strolling into, you know, my membership at like Augusta.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be talking about your membership at Augusta.
That's right. That'd be against
the rules. Any golf-related podcast you're going to appear on this week for swag, like No Laying Ups, Trap Draw, or anything like that we need to be aware of?
My man, Big Randy, that's my guy right there. I got new swag. I'm in good shape. I mean, look, it's, you know, what am I going to do after the season? Talk a little NBA draft, you know, maybe do the summer league? I mean, I got to do something.
Yeah.
I got to figure out a way for you big boys. Here's what I want. I want to foursome. This is the deal. I want a foursome with you.
Yeah.
Me, you two guys, me, and Brooksy. I want Pac to come out of retirement and tee it up with us. What do you think about that?
Well, wait a minute. Before we get to the foursome, what I would like is my damn steak.
I'll buy dinner after.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Okay.
I'll buy
dinner after.
Yeah.
Brooksy and I'll take on you two clowns.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Before we go to break, we have a picture here.
Greenberg.
We have one picture. There's RJ Davis and there's you. Whose hair is better, Pac?
Well, I can't comment on that.
RJ Davis, he's got a good head of lettuce right there. I'll tell you one thing. That's stepping at guys. New York City dudes, he's a city guard. City guards are good. When Carolina's good, they got a city guard. Think about the great city guards that have played for Carolina.
Yeah.
Starting with Eddie Fogler.
That's right, from Flushing. There you go, Eddie Fogler.
By the way, I just want to remind you that today you make your 45th appearance on Packer and Durham. This is number 45 for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I the all-time leader?
No. No. But you are in the top five. You're in the top five.
Top five?
Top five.
Well, you guys kind of big time me this season, I have to admit. You know, I used to have a weekly, you know, where I'd come and we'd do this. And, you know, this year you guys said, you know what?
Well.
Bald-headed guy. We'll give him a break.
I will have to take credit for that because our 2018 bet with Alon Krueger taking your boy from Ole Miss to the woodshed. I haven't received.
You got a good memory.
I do, and I will not. The fact that you haven't paid off your 4-year-old
bet. We've
got to
be in the same city. What do you think? I'm going to fly to see you.
Please,
I'm offering golf
The way you
and
were
a little
running
wage.
The way you were running your mouth about the SEC. I couldn't wait to jump on you. That was the easiest bet I've ever made. Watching an SEC team get absolutely woodshedded.
I mean, we just spent 60 days hearing about America's Basketball Conference,
yeah,
Seth.
Right.
I mean, we just spent 60 days listening to America's Basketball Conference.
And you know what? During the regular season, they were the second best conference of college basketball. And you know what? They did it in their non-conference.
That's true. No question. You're right.
Let me give you a nice
I mean, just
slow
the way it is.
And
that. You know what? I would say, hey, here's
my thing.
Can
we put banners up for that? I'm just asking.
I don't know whether you put banners up for that.
You
like
don't.
For like the ACC people. Like, I got paid by the ACC for 8 years. I got no problems with the ACC.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm telling you, real simple.
Okay.
My job is to react to the game.
That's it.
All right. And you know what? It wasn't hard to react to the game when the league had a bad preseason. Because was the league playing better at the end of the season? Great. But you know what? The end of the season isn't what gets you into the tournament. It's your body of work. You know, I mean, you know what? And I wish it was back in the day, your body of work. Because back in the day, it was your last 10 games. And you know what? It's who you play, when you play, where you play them. So if your last 10 games, you had a tough schedule, it hurt you. Body of work makes sense. People say, well, November teams are just finding each other. Well, people understand with unbalanced schedules, all right, your last 10 games, depending on who you are, if they expect you to be good, your last 10 games, you're playing the best teams in the league.
There you go.
So that's why they have to make it.
If I wanted to hear whining, I'd have called up Buzz Williams. Come on. It's the tournament.
Wait a second. I want to finish with this. It took Buzz Williams 7 minutes and 40 seconds to say what I said in two words. I mean, it took the man. Hey. The only difference between Buzz Williams and myself, I can't cry on cue.
Oh.
Hey, you know what? You will when you finally pay for that bet you've been
you will.
Goofing that around with.
The night you have to buy his steak, you'll cry.
Because that steak keeps getting larger and larger every year.
I'll tell you what.
Blowing me off.
I'm telling you, I want to buy the steak. You're going to buy me the Tito's.
Golf. Yeah, okay, that's not a problem.
That's not happening, big man.
Brooksy, you have one job besides keeping these new guys in control. Set up the date. You and I are going to take them on, and we might double the bet up.
Oh, boy. Oh, here we go.
That's a good idea because Brooks right now couldn't beat Chester or Fuller in golf. You're in deep trouble.
You just signed up with a guy on the DL, Seth.
Yeah, he's got one shoulder.
Hey, I'm going to give my guy, he's going to have his new clubs.
He's going to get back in rehab. We got to go.
I have great confidence in your producer.
Unless his foot wedge can hit 300-yard slight draws, you're in deep trouble.
No, he's got a soft fade.
All right.
Oh yeah, it is exactly that, a soft fade.
Thanks, Seth. Good to see you. Be well.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God, how do we go off the rails so fast? We have such good intentions when we start the segment. We really do. I mean, we want to talk basketball. We got Sweet 16. The next thing you know, we're just doing this. When we come back, an abbreviated version. I mean really abbreviated. A fill in the blank on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Don't forget ACC baseball coming your way this weekend, Friday night. DeKalb Stadium, Mike Martin Field in Tallahassee will be the site for Duke and No. 7 Florida State. And then Saturday would take you to Raleigh, Georgia Tech on the road. Danny Hall, Elliott Avin, always a entertaining series when the Jackets and Wolfpack get together. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, ACC baseball in prime time right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app.
Georgia Tech and NC State baseball, two of my favorites. Why? Because they have been the pipeline to the San Francisco Giants, both of them lately.
I ran into gentleman yesterday when I was down at the ESPN offices here in Charlotte.
This is the ESPN office.
This is the ACC Network Packer and Durham studio.
Oh, there's
in your basement down at Ballantyne. And ran into a gentleman down there who was helping us with our Pittsburgh Pro Day production. And he said to me, he said, by the way, tell Packer, always enjoy his talk about the New York Giants.
No, San Francisco Giants.
Or San Francisco Giants. And I said, really, why is that? And he said, because I'm a big Dodger fan.
Is that right? Was he sporting his National League West runner-up T-shirt?
No, he was not. No? He was not, no.
That's too bad.
No, but he grew up
Big sellers in San Francisco.
He was
Dodgers, National League West, runner-ups.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So there you go. Anyway.
Well, hopefully they'll enjoy Freddie Freeman on the downside of his career.
Let's get to fill in the blank, please. Can we get to fill in the blank? I did this to myself. Drew, I'm sorry. I apologize. By the way,
I don't know what the problem is.
By the way, nice of Greenberg to just roll you in to his made-for-television golf match.
I love Coach. We've played golf one time together. He needed a ringer for a charity tournament. I showed up, and it was for cops. I've never seen so many cops in one place in my life, and I told him I felt uncomfortable, so we're going to have to make this a quick round.
He brought in a ringer to a golf event by the police department.
And we ended up winning like second or third place or whatever. I just got out of there. I didn't even collect whatever we won.
I don't think there needs to be a comment after that.
Yeah, so first fill in the blank. The team that has won the World Series most recently, San Francisco Giants or LA Dodgers?
Oh, boy.
The Giants.
Oh, I think that's incorrect, actually. Let's get to the real questions here.
That is correct. I mean, you're talking about a full season.
Oh, here we go. I knew. See, I knew
that's not what I was talking about. Yeah. No, I shouldn't have done that.
If it's like,
you asked for that.
If it's like, hey, we're only going to play 3 months and pretend it's a World Series in a neutral site, then I guess the Dodgers claim that
doing?
Thing.
Drew, what are you doing?
Play a real
poorly produced.
Drew,
poorly produced. Poorly produced.
All right, go ahead. Let's go. Get away from this. Quick.
All right, first question. You asked it to Seth, but it was one of my good ones here. ACC men's team with the easiest path. The ACC men's team with the easiest path to the Final Four is blank.
Well, Seth just told you. It's North Carolina.
Yeah, but I don't care what Seth said. I want to know what you think.
Well, I mean, why would you go against the guy that's like rolling in the ESPN bracketology trick or whatever that game is that we're playing? How do you not pick North Carolina? I mean, the number one seed still exists out west. The number one seed still exists in the Midwest. Mm. And North Carolina's looking around going, all right, so we get UCLA and then Purdue. So I'll take my chance. I'm going to say North Carolina.
Unless St. Peter's beats Purdue.
St. Pete's got to go.
I would agree with Carolina, but there's something about Miami that I think it's really going to be interesting to watch the Canes, because I've watched Providence. I like Providence more than I like Kansas.
Well, they jump on their bandwagon.
I mean, I think Providence and Miami end up playing for that final, by the way. That's just me. So,
by the way, do you like Arkansas to keep the SEC's hopes alive to snap their streak of not winning this thing in a decade?
I'll say this. If Arkansas beats Gonzaga, all bets are off for the final.
Ooh.
I think Arkansas is a harder matchup than Gonzaga people want to realize.
Okay. We'll see.
Yeah. That's the only team I picked to advance from the Southeastern Conference beyond the Sweet 16, Arkansas.
Right. Well, I had two in the Final Four.
Ooh, wow. There you go. All right, Drew.
How did that work out for you?
Terrible. That's okay. But it took me 2 minutes to fill up the bracket. Yeah, it's in the trash. I keep telling you, I don't even spend time on the bracket. Whatever.
Yeah, it took me 2 minutes, and I had Miami in the Final Four. So we'll see what the heavens there. All right, the most indispensable player to their team, ACC related, obviously, in the Sweet 16 is who?
Baycott, North Carolina.
Wow. Armando.
Double machine.
Yeah, he would be on the list for sure. I tell you what, if Mark Williams comes off the floor for Duke, I think things change, but not like they do for Carolina and Baycott. I agree with that. I would say Baycott. Absolutely. I agree with Pac on that one. But Mark Williams wouldn't be far behind. And ironic, both bigs, but I think that's a commodity at this point, don't you think?
No question.
Yeah.
Is there more?
There is one more.
Okay.
Who will be the surprise star of the Sweet 16? Not necessarily the most indispensable, but who will be the surprise star when we have our show on Monday?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a hard question. Now, we're assuming a North Carolina, Duke, Miami in the Final Four.
All three make it? Holy cow.
Oh, if all three make it. I tell you what, if all three ACC teams are in the Final Four, there'll be some networks going dark next week. There'll be some networks showing you last year's football highlights. 24/7. That's what happens if the ACC puts three in the Final Four. SEC Big Ten Network. We are just going to go ahead and show you Ohio State, Michigan football. We're going to show you a little Georgia, Alabama football. We're just going to pretend basketball never happened. That's what happens if those three make it in the Final Four. that's a tough question.
That's not going to happen. There's no way that happens. That happens. That's not good for everybody else.
You know, this guy's a star already. That's why it's hard to answer this question. I was going to go McGusty. I was going to go Cam McGusty.
I'll tell you this. I think the new surprise star will be the guy on here at 9:30, Charlie Moore. I think Charlie Moore is having a great tournament, not a good tournament. I think he's having a great tournament.
Ball's in his hands, too.
And the ball's in his hands. And I think they – I'm sorry. I think they can win two games. I think they can beat Kansas. I think they can beat Providence. And I think they will house Iowa State.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, I mean, Iowa State, to their credit, won two games last year.
Well, T.J. Otzelberger does awesome a great job. He's done a phenomenal job. But I think they will house Iowa State, and then I think they'll beat Kansas or Providence. And if they play Providence, Kansas, tougher game. Providence, I think they can certainly beat. By the way, Larinaga against his alma mater, if that happens.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. I'll tell you what else would be something. Kelly Gramlich on the other side, fresh off watching the Wolfpack in person in Raleigh. And now, four ACC women's teams.
Four
to the Sweet 16. Man, watch this league on its best year ever, now has a quarter of the field. We'll talk to KG about it next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. On a Tuesday, our next guest will be making her 18th appearance.
Is that all?
18th appearance on Packer and Durham. Yesterday.
What about when she's in here to hang out? That doesn't count.
That's a host.
Oh, that's a host.
Host. This is guest appearances. Yesterday's guest appearance by Muffet McGraw. Muffet made the comment, oh, you like Kelly better than you like me.
Hey, what Kelly, what about said. That? How about that yesterday? Huh?
Oh. Hello, gentlemen. I can't believe it's only been 18. It feels like 50, you know?
We have that ability to do that to people. We've kind of had enough of you guys. We've heard that line before, Kelly, but that's okay. You're back for more, which is good. It's kind of like ACC women's basketball in the March Madness tournament. We're back for more. Four in the Sweet 16. What's your take on that?
Now, that's a segue, Mark Packer. That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Oh, there's
You know, pretty expected. And even though the committee gave some of these teams five seeds where people were worried UNC had to go to Arizona and Notre Dame had to go to Oklahoma, I still thought those two regions were where those teams were going to be able to succeed. Virginia Tech just got a bad matchup with Florida Gulf Coast. That team is crazy. But overall, I think four is about what I expected. And I thought five was possible. But, hey, we'll take four. You know, this is a league that I think is really proving itself on the national stage, perhaps at some times disrespected. Only two of the top 16 seeds came from this league. I thought that was a little low. And North Carolina and Notre Dame made statements yesterday, gentlemen, not just wins. Notre Dame blew Oklahoma off of their own floor like a tornado ripping through Norman, okay? They didn't even want to come out there for the second half. And then North Carolina, they let Arizona back in just a little bit at the end, but that game was a blowout. So I thought statement wins from UNC and Notre Dame.
You know, Kelly, that's the part about the wins last night. It just shows you those five should have been fours. I mean, it's that simple.
Exactly.
And that's a miss by the committee. And I know Nina King's the chair of the committee, and I understand there's in the room, out of the room stuff and all that jazz and this stuff, but that's a miss. When those games like that happen, that's a problem. But now that we've got four in the Sweet 16, here's the question. The expectation on North Carolina and the expectation on Notre Dame. First of all, we get Notre Dame and NC State. That's one thing. But North Carolina playing South Carolina in Greensboro, that's a different dynamic than Gamecock fans were probably hoping for sure.
Ooh, I'm ready for that one. Let's start with that one, the Carolina versus Carolina battle. And let's be honest. Look, South Carolina fans, they sometimes don't love me because, I don't know, variety, maybe there's an orange factor. But you know, they haven't played that well and that's just reality. I mean, I have the utmost respect for South Carolina and for Dawn Staley and what they do, but they really couldn't score against Miami. And Howard, you know, they won their league, but that game they were overmatched. So they didn't look great against Miami. If they play like that offensively against a UNC team, I think this game could be very close. Because UNC is so versatile. They can guard inside. Obviously, Aaliyah Boston is a problem, but I think you use Anya Poole, you use Zelaya, you use those 10 fouls that you have in there and make it work. Now, the problem is that South Carolina brings Camilla Cardoso off the bench, who was the ACC Rookie of the Year last year. So I think defending inside is going to be the main concern for UNC. But if UNC can shoot the ball like they have, if they can run, make this game an offensive-minded game. South Carolina wants to make it a defensive-minded game. UNC has to go out there and punch right away. And really, this is a situation where you got to outscore. I mean, defense is important, but you got to try to outscore South Carolina. And in Greensboro Coliseum for that quarterfinal between UNC and Virginia Tech, there were a lot of UNC fans. So I know the Gamecock fans will be packing out Greensboro, but I also think there will be a good bit of baby blue.
Let's go to Wichita, Kansas. We got Louisville taking on Tennessee. That Tennessee-Belmont thing last night was drunk down the stretch.
Oh, my God.
All right, that was nuts. So, all right, so Louisville, Tennessee. What's the breakdown? What do you like, what you don't like from a Louisville perspective in this game?
Well, first of all, prayers up to Belmont Betty. I don't know if you saw her in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she was getting and I know that she's probably having a rough morning. Free throws, guys. Free throws yesterday for both Belmont and for a few other teams. Oof, UCF. Free throws were big. But Tennessee escapes, and Tennessee is a team that has a ton of size. They have Key inside, who is a shot-blocking machine, but they're also a bit injured, and I also worry about their scoring ability. I think Louisville's feeling pretty darn good. when you look at that Wichita region. Baylor has already lost. South Dakota knocked them out. Mm-hmm. I think Tennessee is very beatable for Louisville. And then if Michigan advances, Louisville beat Michigan earlier this year by 20 points. So from a coaching perspective, Jeff Walz has to take this thing one game at a time. From a media perspective, I look at Wichita for Louisville and I'm thinking, Final Four. I mean, it looks like they have a very, very good chance of making it, guys.
All right. Now let's get to the one we've kind of all been talking about. We talked about it since the thing came out, and here we are. The curious piece of this is that now NC State has to play Notre Dame, who actually beat them in the regular season at South Bend, right? Second part of that is, I'm not sure UConn is this battleship that nobody can attack, Kelly. I mean, I saw UCF last night kind of take them to the wire a little bit. I thought Nakisha Sales on Coach Abe's staff did a nice job getting a game plan together against her alma mater. So where does NC State – first of all, you were in Raleigh. NC State, all they were asked about leading up to the tournament was a game that was 2 weeks away. How did they process that? And now what do you think happens once they get there?
Wes, I've been saying this. There is no reason, except for the brand, to be afraid of UConn right now. There's no reason. This is a team that is still, I think, trying to find itself. And understandably, because Becker's missed so much time and they've had other injuries. And UCF's a good defensive team, but they struggled offensively to score in their own building in front of all of their fans. So I said this on the selection show, and Coach McGraw, who obviously has played UConn and Bridgeport quite a few times, looked at me and said, Kelly, you don't know what you're talking about. And I said, Coach, NC State is that good. They're that good. And I think they deserve the respect of still being the favorite in that region. And I still have them as the favorite because they looked great against Kansas State. This team is so dang balanced and anybody can hurt you. Elisa Cunane picked up 2 fouls in the first minute. She scored 4 points in the whole game. And NC State boat raced a pretty good team from the Big 12. Like, mm-hmm. That's what they did without their best player doing anything. They are so deep, bringing in Diamond Johnson, and the fact that she accepted her role, it's excellent coaching by Wes Moore. And coaching is sometimes roster construction. And Wes Moore did a great job knowing we have to bring in another piece to help us be better offensively and to give us more depth. And Diamond Johnson, absolute credit to her, being willing to come off the bench after being an All-Big Ten player. She gives them a different spark. And Reyna Perez is playing out of her mind. She is making it Reyna on a consistent basis. So I think NC State is feeling really good right now. UConn looks beatable. I hate it that NC State has to play Notre Dame. Not because I think that's, you know, I think NC State most likely will win that game, but Notre Dame is playing great basketball. And so we're going to have some ACC on ACC crime. And if you don't guard Dara Mabry, she will destroy you. I mean, she will flat out destroy you. She banked in that three from the right wing. I threw my phone. I couldn't believe that play. That play was unbelievable. So Notre Dame's playing great basketball. That might be the game I'm most excited for in the Sweet 16.
For argument's sake, if is the biggest word in sports. If Notre Dame wins and UConn wins, is it possible to be able to sit beside Muffet courtside for Notre Dame UConn? In Bridgeport?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm not sure they would let her in, you know, in Bridgeport. Like that, Muffet would have to maybe sneak in the tunnel or something. And I would love to go. I'd be her bodyguard. I would help protect her in that kind of hostile environment. But to sit next to her, I would be worried for her. I'd be worried for the blood pressure. I mean, all those types of things. So I think I'd prefer to sit next to her in a more private setting so that coach could maybe say her real thoughts and we could enjoy those together. But yeah, that game, I mean, it would be unreal for coach to take that one in. And that's cool too. Look, if Notre Dame, this is an ACC channel, if Notre Dame beats NC State, which they're obviously capable of doing, we get a Notre Dame UConn game, which is one of the great rivals in the sport. And Notre Dame lost to UConn earlier in the year and Notre Dame's playing so much better. So it would be a revenge spot for them. Either way, you're going to most likely have an ACC team playing UConn. But don't forget about Indiana. Indiana is good. Yeah. Indiana knocked off NC State last year. I know they got to play that in Bridgeport, but UConn's got to be able to score. And Indiana can score the ball.
I think Terry's really got a good team, Bob. I like their team. I mean, last year they beat NC State. And what was it? San Antonio, I think they won the game. Yeah. I kind of watched them a little bit and followed her career. She's done a marvelous job coaching that team. And Princeton was a handful last night. I mean, I watched the last five and a half of that, and it was a very interesting finish. Okay, we're going to put the same question on you we put on Greenberg a moment ago. Monday, how many ACC teams are going to Minneapolis?
It's tough because NC State and Notre Dame are going to cannibalize each other. So obviously only one from there, and Louisville. I think Louisville will advance and get to the Final Four. I think NC State will get to the Final Four, and I think North Carolina will most likely lose to South Carolina, even though there's a chance, y'all. There's a chance. You got to watch that game. So I'm going to have two in Minneapolis, and that means Kelsey, Chelsea, Coach, Cody, everyone, we're going to Minneapolis, baby, and it's going to be great.
How about Packer and Durham?
No, that'd be a zero. I've already told you. No, right here.
Not invited if that happens?
Right here.
Huh?
Right here.
Wow.
I think we could probably get you on the list if you know, I'll talk to some people, guys. I'll talk to some people.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, call. Yeah, I'll let you know what the answer is before you even call.
Hey, though, if you go to Minneapolis, do me a favor, though. Be sure to water the plant before you leave.
Oh, I know. Look, thankfully, Nick can look after all of my fake plants to make sure they're okay. And I'm just hoping if we go to Minneapolis, please no snow. Like, I can't. I hear it'll snow there till May, and I'm not that.
Yeah.
No,
that's a possibility.
You need to get real with that now.
Yeah, you need to get real.
You're hyping up the trip. You need to understand something. Yeah. That's going to happen.
Layer up.
Yeah.
Look, it's an indoor sport.
All right. Thank you, as always, for the time. Have a great week. Enjoy this. And you can tell Muffet all your appearances are well-deserved. There are no free ones in this one, right, Pac?
You've now doubled up Muffet. Muffet's at 9, and you're at 18.
Oh, I will be texting her shortly. I'm just so glad to hear that my Packer and Durham career can now vote and buy a lottery ticket. So that's an honor.
Yeah, exactly right.
There we go.
We're all about equality.
All right. See you, Kelly. Thank you.
Guys.
All right. Kelly Gramlich. Don't forget all the coverage of the women's side. There'll be special editions of All ACC and Nothing But Net all to come when we come back. If you missed this piece last week, it's worth your time. The story of Haley Van Lith and her dad.
All right, Chester.
Wenatchee Washington, the influence of Kobe Bryant, and more on the Louisville Shooting Star next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Don't forget ACC softball Sunday, high noon, presented by TIAA. Number 9 Duke on the road at Notre Dame. Available for you on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. They'll wrap up the 3-game set at Melissa Cook Stadium right here on ACCN.
It's time for the best part of the show, according to Chester, because we're now going to talk Louisville women's basketball.
Yep. If you missed this last week, it's worth your time. The story of Haley Van Lith has been pretty well documented in terms of her success on the floor. Well, how did it happen? Well, because she had a dream to be one of college basketball's best players. Her dad franchised that dream with coaching and mentorship and inspiration in many ways. But the chance encounter with Kobe Bryant maybe changed the course of both their lives. Katie George has our story.
This is where it all started. Fourth grade. I mean, right here. I can't tell you. She liked this end for some reason because people would come in here and try to watch her. And they'd sneak in, and we'd catch people coming through the curtains. We grinded right here in this little elementary gym. And she's playing in the Yum Center now. I mean, that place holds 22,000 people.
Haley Van Lith for three.
It's almost like Haley Van Lith said, hey, I'm just gonna take over.
Finding the footwork and the bucket.
Her intensity is off the charts. She's one of the top five that we've had here at Louisville, and we've had some good ones. What makes her unique is she's willing to put the work in.
A lot of people think you're crazy for working that hard. Like, I don't know how you do it. I just really love being in the gym, and I get it from my dad. He loves me so much that he's willing to be honest with me when it's my fault or I need to change. At the same time, when I am right, he'll let me know that. And that's how I know that my dreams aren't unrealistic, because he has never told me that.
Haley Van Lith is pursuing her wildest dream, one that was conceived a decade ago as a 10-year-old in Kashmir, Washington.
We were sitting there watching TV, and that was back in the day when UConn was just dominating and Tennessee, and she was watching it and she was like, I want to do that.
I vividly remember having the conversation, I want to say like fourth, fifth grade, really serious about it. And he was like, well, if you want to do this, like, you have to practice every night. Like, even if you already have practice, you have to practice after practice. So we started renting out a gym every night for 2 hours.
What were the workouts like?
Very intense. I mean, we're gonna do it my way, and which is gonna be 100% all the time. They were game speed. I was very physical with her. I wanted to teach her how to be physical. And so I had the pads, and I was beating on her when she was coming in, and she thought I'd hit her too hard sometimes. If we're gonna be here an hour and a half, it's gonna get on. And when you get mad at her, it's on.
There were definitely times when they came home not speaking to each other, door slamming, and I'd think, oh, this is it. Like, she's not gonna wanna go practice with him again. And she would be the one the next day. She would just go pick up a ball and go stand in front of him, and then it was, okay, let's go.
At the end of the day, neither one of us was gonna give up on this dream that I had. He would work 10-hour days out on construction, hard labor, and then he'd come in at 9:30, wouldn't eat dinner, take me straight to the gym. We'd shoot till 11 p.m. at night.
The countless hours Van Lith invested with her dad, Corey, paid off in high school, where she averaged 34 points per game. In 2019, after leading Team USA to gold at the FIBA 3-on-3 18 and under World Cup, she caught the attention of another basketball father.
I was in Mongolia, and someone that was on the men's team was a type of manager for Kobe, and he's like, Kobe wants to work out with you. And I was like, Kobe doesn't even know who I am. What are you talking about?
I got involved and said, all right, let me talk to somebody to find out, like, is this real? And so I reached out, and they're like, no, he's very interested in talking to Haley, learning from Haley, like, and training her, and just sitting down with her. And I was like, wow.
I got to work out with him a few times. Everything had to be like 10 makes in a row, everything in a row, work on both hands. He really wanted to stress the perfection of both sides to me. Having G there was something that was really cool, and just getting the opportunity to mentor her a little bit.
Kobe felt like he was putting Haley in front of Gigi and was a little bit of a role model for Gigi on, hey, if you do this, what I've been telling you, like, it'll work. That day he told me, Corey, I've never seen anybody do every drill as hard as Haley does every single drill. He asked me to send him a workout that me and Haley had just did. He'd like our workout. And I just remember shaking my head and being like, he don't need my advice on what to do with his daughter. Like, he knows. Like, it was just, but he cared about how I made it work.
Obviously, we had survived training with each other all those years. It's Kobe Bryant, like, one of the greatest players ever, and he was looking at us. That was a big moment for my dad, knowing, like, all the sacrifices, everything he has done for me could inspire another relationship.
On January 11th, 2020, making good on a promise to the Van Liths, Kobe and Gianna Bryant traveled to Kashmir, Washington to watch Haley play.
We got there about midway through the first quarter, and the buzz, man, the buzz was going, and you could see the buzz around the gym. And he enjoyed it, man, like, he liked it. Like, Gigi was sitting next to him, and she was just glued in.
For him to take the time for Gianna and him to fly into little old Kashmir, you know, to come watch a game, it meant a lot. He taught her to be who she is, and you don't apologize for it because you're a strong, aggressive player. You be who you are, and it's okay to be that and be a girl.
Van Lith continues to honor Kobe and Gianna's memory every time she picks up a ball. And while she no longer trains with her dad on a nightly basis, their bond is stronger than ever.
What does the term girl dad mean to you?
Man, it's just providing her the same opportunities that boys get. I'm gonna do everything I can to provide her everything that she wants to earn, and we weren't gonna stop till that happened. She deserved that.
When he comes to some games, like, I'll work out with him the night before the game, and it's like, let's just have you rebound for me again, like old times. Let's just experience this again. Wherever I'm at and whatever I'm doing, he always is a reason behind me being able to do that.
And now it is off to Wichita. Two more wins will put the Cards in the Final Four in Minneapolis. So, great story on Haley Van Lith.
And this, I swear to you, Chester sound asleep. As soon as that piece came on, the man's wide awake. Look at him.
There he is.
Loves it. There he goes.
Now back to sleep.
You guys are done talking about my girl Haley Van Lith?
That's
all right, enough of you guys. Catch you.
All right. On the other side, Power Hour, Luke DeCock, the Raleigh News and Observer, will join us. A lot of topics to dive into, especially with Carolina Duke both in the Sweet 16, but also a few ACC notes as well. Luke joins us next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.